Hello and welcome to a special pseudo-holiday edition of the Thingularity Radio program broadcasting live from Santa's workshop. I tell you what, AI is everywhere and it's horrible. Your kids' toys are all going to be reprogramming their minds.
Yeah, right. We thought that in the 90s when it was Furbies.
Furbies?
Remember Furby?
When they would... you mean the security threat?
What? Furbies is not a security threat.
Oh, yeah. Furbies are, like, not allowed in government offices because they're recording devices.
Oh, they are?
They will record your voice and play it back.
Wow.
Actually, yeah.
I didn't know that. Did they do that in the early aughts? Or is that only recently?
I'm not exactly sure when the Furby came out. I never got one.
You should feel happy for that, honestly. Yeah, those things were creepy as hell.
Oh my god, yes. Like
when they ran out of the battery, they would start moving their eyes randomly and then waking up and making you know, those creepy recordings that you know the noises that you hear in horror movies.
Sorry, I'm just gonna look up what a Furby is.
Oh my gosh. Generation Z over here.
Well, let me tell you about another fun toy that came out at Christmas, and it was the Cabbage Patch doll that could eat things. Did we all remember that one?
No.
It was a Cabbage Patch doll that, like, here's the best part. It had a mechanism in its mouth where you could take, like, a little toy carrot or an apple and put it in its mouth, and it starts chewing, and it takes it in, and it goes into it, and then it ends up in its diaper.
I was going to say, it does, yeah.
Yeah, and then one day, a little girl let it get a little too close to her head, and it just started chewing on her hair.
Oh, my God.
And it did not stop. It was basically chewing on scalp up until like they brought the fire department in. It was bad.
Nobody had the thought to just take out the batteries
or cut her hair.
Hey, Brian, are we? Yeah, they good cut her hair.
We're doing fine.
All
we're
right, on air. That's going to avert me having to send some text out to some people. All right, I guess the holiday show is on and up and running. And if you're not listening, then what? You're sleeping. The solstice was last.
The spirit of Christmas past be a.
Be upon visiting
you in your sleep.
Be upon thee this night.
That's right.
The darkest night of the year, pretty much.
Not quite, right? Or is it coming like a day after the solstice?
It's so close. You're talking by a difference of like a minute or two. But let's say, yeah, last night's night will be the longest night. And then January 3rd will be the earliest night. It's weird.
Oh, right.
December 7th is the latest morning. Yesterday was the shortest night, and then January 3rd will be the earliest night, and January 4th will be perihelion. We will be coming as close to the sun as possible. And mostly coincidences for all of that stuff. Does anybody have any sort of holiday message they would like to send out to anybody before we kick it over to our first holiday song?
Yeah. Experience less stress.
Yeah.
If you have a stressor in your life, try to experience less of it, if you can help it.
Just stop it.
And if for some reason you can't just avoid that thing, we all find ways to numb ourselves against it.
Just stop it.
Just stop it.
That's great advice. And all, that's the best advice stressed, and the worst advice simultaneously.
Yeah, I know. Because, you know.
Some holiday advice from, oh my girl. Just if you're stressed, like literally just stop.
I mean, come on. Knock it off. Why be a pain for everyone else? I mean, duh.
No. What I'm saying is the people who are pains for you, experience less of them. If you can help it.
Well, that's why everybody can go get a nice set of ear pods and they can put them in and just smile and nod. Now, you see, the best part is most people have the white ear pods that go with the iPhones, and those are stupid. What you want is the kind like I get, which are the sleep acceptable earbuds, which go in your ears, and mine are milk tea colored because that's my skin. Anyway, it goes in. Nobody knows I'm wearing them. Like, they are just little creamy buds. They're smaller than
Like a hearing aid.
Yeah. Mm. And I can just smile and nod with the best of them. They're not noise canceling. They're noise isolating. If I strain or I turn my sound down, I can hear someone.
Oh, good. Mm. I was going to say, that would cause me stress. Is
you can have a choice.
Thinking someone's calling my name or trying to talk to me, and I can't hear them. Even if they're saying stressful things, I'd rather hear the stressful things to be able to know what to cry about later. You know?
I'd rather know and be upset than be in the dark.
No. Yeah, than not know.
Yes.
We're just going to head that off at the pass. We're going to blank out Uncle Terry and just listen to our favorite podcast.
New Year, New Me. Yeah.
All right, Brian, do it.
Boom.
Start dying, we die a little more every day. Young or old, rich or poor, there's nothing we can do to stop it. So look long at that Christmas tree, it may be the last one that you see. Decorate your house in green and red, 'cause someday you'll be dead. Dead, dead, dead. Someday you'll be dead. Dead, dead, dead. Someday we'll all be dead. might happen in a couple months or 50 years from now. But no matter when it happens, it will seem too soon to you. So be sure on Christmas Eve when you snuggle into bed that you thank God for your family, 'cause someday they'll be dead, 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 dead. Someday they'll be dead, 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 dead. Someday we'll all be dead. Who knows how many Christmases are left in their short life? Nobody knows, that's my point. Enjoy them while you can. And so on Christmas morning, let good tidings fill your head. What a festive season. Someday you'll be dead, 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 dead. Someday we'll be dead, 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 dead. Everyone you know dead. A very merry Christmas to you, dead, dead, dead.
Merry Christmas, everybody!
And we're back.
Really?
Sorry, guys. This is a low energy episode. We are, what do you say, wassailing right now?
Wassailing, yeah.
Yes, on some soju.
Wassailing. What's this? What? Oh, this is soju. What?
What about it? What's the matter? You don't want to do karaoke?
No, 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 no. She. I'm waiting for her to complete that phrase of song she was just singing.
Oh, the sailing? I don't know. I just know this.
Were you going to say, like, wassailing away? What?
No, that's a song.
Sailing away. Sailing.
That's the only part of the song right now. He says it twice, though. It's like an 80s. It's in like.
You watch TV, but don't listen to the radio.
Bingo. Gotcha. But now I'm on it. So.
Yes, what a wonderful combination. That's called refeed.
And I don't even know what a Furby is. No, I do. I looked it up. I recognize the figure.
Do you know what a Teddy Ruxpin is?
Yes.
Of course you do. Oh my God. I'm talking to you.
Oh God.
It's like 20 years before she was born.
I don't care.
Back in your audio cave.
Was it Green Day that released like one of their songs played through a Teddy Ruxpin or something like that? Like that was how it was recorded.
They recorded their song through a Teddy Ruxpin?
Yeah. Somebody did like some weird project like that.
I linked it
recently. We're not going to talk about that. We're just going to fade into another holiday song. Hit it, Brian.
Oh, we actually banished him back to his audio cave.
How are we doing? Are we online?
We're good, yeah. What do you want to listen to? David Sedaris and his The Best Christmas Story Ever. It goes on forever, but it's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yes, sure.
Okay. Then that's what
Yes, we'll time do. For more drinking.
Drinking!
Oh, God.
Holiday cheer.
This is what Christmas means.
Yeah. Drinking!
No, dude, I was watching that
writing for Esquire,
the Townsend's Christmas's past years, cooking.
Because it gives me a chance to work with a guy named Andy Ward, who's just a great editor. And this is a story that they're going to, I believe, publish next month, and it's called 6 to 8 Black Men. I've never been much for guidebooks, so when trying to get my bearings in some strange American city, I normally start by asking the cab driver or hotel clerk some silly question regarding the latest census figures. I say silly because I don't really care how many people live in Olympia, Washington, or Columbus, Ohio. They're nice enough places, but the numbers mean nothing to me. My second question might have to do with the average annual rainfall, which again doesn't tell me anything about the people who have chosen to call this place home. What truly interests me are the local gun laws. Can I carry a concealed weapon? And if so, under what circumstances? What's the waiting period for a Tommy gun? Could I buy a Glock 7 if I were recently divorced or fired from my job? I've learned from experience it is best to lead into this subject as delicately as possible. Especially if you and the local citizen are alone and enclosed in a relatively small area. Bide your time, though, and you can walk away with some excellent stories. I've learned, for example, that the blind can legally hunt in both Texas and Michigan. From an equal opportunity standpoint, I suppose it's only fair, but still I find it more than a little unsettling. In Texas, the blind hunters must be accompanied by a sighted companion, but in Michigan, they're allowed to go it alone. Which raises the question, how do they find whatever it is they just shot? In addition to that, how do they get home? Are the Michigan blind allowed to drive as well? I ask about guns not because I want one of my own, but because the answers vary so widely from state to state. In a country that's become increasingly homogeneous, I'm reassured by these last charming touches of regionalism. Guns aren't really an issue in Europe, so when traveling abroad, my first question usually relates to barnyard animals. What do your roosters say is a good icebreaker? As every country has its own unique interpretation. In Germany, where dogs bark vow vow, and both the frog and the duck say quack, the rooster greets the dawn with a hearty kikariki. Grecian roosters crow kidiaki, and in France they scream cocorico, which sounds like an order for one of those horrible pre-mixed cocktails with a pirate on the label. When told that an American rooster says cock-a-doodle-doo, my hosts look at me with disbelief and pity. When do you open your Christmas presents is another good question, as I think it explains a lot about national character. People who traditionally open gifts on Christmas Eve seem a bit more pious and family-oriented than those who wait until Christmas morning. They go to Mass, open presents, eat a late meal, return to church the following morning, and devote the rest of the day to eating another big meal. Gifts are generally reserved for children, and the parents tend not to go overboard. It's nothing I'd want for myself. But I suppose it's fine for those who prefer food and family to things of real value. In France and Germany, gifts are exchanged on Christmas Eve, while in the Netherlands, the children open their presents on December 5th, in celebration of St. Nicholas Day. It sounded sort of quaint until I spoke to a man named Oscar, who filled me in on a few of the details as we walked from my hotel to the Amsterdam train station. Unlike the jolly, obese American Santa, St. Nicholas is painfully thin and dresses not unlike the Pope, topping his robes with a tall hat resembling an embroidered tea cozy. The outfit, I was told, is a carryover from his former career when he served as the Bishop of Turkey. I'm sorry, I said. But could you repeat that? One doesn't want to be too much of a cultural chauvinist, but this seemed completely wrong to me. For starters, Santa didn't used to do anything. He's not retired, and more importantly, he has nothing to do with Turkey. It's too dangerous there, and the people wouldn't appreciate him. When asked how he got from Turkey to the North Pole, Oscar told me with complete conviction that St. Nicholas currently resides in Spain, which again is simply not true. While he could probably live wherever he wanted, Santa chose the North Pole specifically because it is harsh and isolated. No one can spy on him, and he doesn't have to worry about people coming to the door. Anyone can come to the door in Spain, and in that outfit, he'd most certainly be recognized. On top of that, aside from a few pleasantries, Santa doesn't speak Spanish. Hello, how are you? Can I get you some candy? Fine, he knows enough to get by. But he's not fluent, and he certainly doesn't eat tapas. While our Santa flies in on a sled, the Dutch version arrives by boat and then transfers to a white horse. The event is televised and great crowds gather at the waterfront to greet him. I'm not sure if there's a set date, but he generally docks in late November and spends a few weeks hanging out and asking people what they want. Is it just him alone, I asked, or does he come with some backup? Oscar's English was close to perfect, but he seemed thrown by a term normally reserved for police reinforcement. Helpers, I said. Does he have any elves? Maybe I'm just overly sensitive, but I couldn't help but feel personally insulted when Oscar denounced the very idea as, quote, grotesque and unrealistic. Elves, he said, they're just so silly. The words silly and unrealistic were redefined when I learned that St. Nicholas travels with what was consistently described as 6 to 8 black men. I asked several Dutch people to narrow it down, but none of them could give me an exact number. It was always 6 to 8, which seems strange considering they've had hundreds of years to get a decent head count. The 6 to 8 black men were characterized as personal slaves until the mid-1950s, when the political climate changed and it was decided that instead of being slaves, they were just good friends. I think history has proven that something usually comes between slavery and friendship. A period of time marked not by cookies and quiet hours by the fire, but by bloodshed and mutual hostility. They have such violence in the Netherlands, but rather than duking it out amongst one another, Santa and his former slaves decided to take it out in the public. In the early years, if a child was naughty, St. Nicholas and the 6 to 8 black men would beat him with what Oscar described as the small branch of a tree. A switch? Yeah, he said, that's it. They'd kick him and beat him with a switch. Then if the youngster was really bad, they'd put him in a sack and take him back to Spain. Wait a minute, St. Nicholas would kick you? Well, not anymore, Oscar said. Now he just pretends to kick you. He considered this to be progressive, but in a way, I think it's almost more perverse than the original punishment. I'm going to hurt you, but not really. How many times have we fallen for that line? The fake slap invariably makes contact, adding the elements of shock and betrayal to what had previously been plain old-fashioned fear. What kind of a Santa spends his time pretending to kick people before stuffing them into a canvas sack? Then, of course, you've got the 6 to 8 former slaves who could potentially go off at any moment. This, I think, is the greatest difference between us and the Dutch. While a certain segment of our population might be perfectly happy with the arrangement, if you told the average white American that 6 to 8 nameless black men would be sneaking into his house in the middle of the night, he would barricade the doors and arm himself with whatever he could get his hands on. 6 to 8, did you say? In the years before central heating, Dutch children would leave their shoes by the fireplace, the promise being that unless they planned to beat you, kick you, or stuff you into a sack, St. Nicholas and the 6 to 8 black men would fill your clogs with presents. Aside from the threats of violence and kidnapping, it's not much different than hanging your stockings from the mantle. Now that so few people actually have a working fireplace, the Dutch are instructed to leave their shoes beside the radiator, furnace, or space heater. St. Nicholas and the 6 to 8 black men arrive on horses, which jump from the yard onto the roof. At this point, I guess they either jump back down and use the door, or stay put and vaporize through the pipes and electrical cords. Oscar wasn't too clear about the particulars, but really, who can blame him? We have the same problem with our Santa. He's supposed to use a chimney, but if you don't have one, he still manages to come through. It's best not to think about it that hard. While 8 flying reindeer are a hard pill to swallow, our Christmas story remains relatively dull. Santa lives with his wife in a remote polar village and spends one night a year traveling around the world. If you're bad, he leaves you coal. If you're good and live in America, he'll give you just about anything you want. We tell our children to be good, and then we send them off to bed, where they lie awake, anticipating their great bounty. A Dutch parent has a decidedly hairier story to relate, telling his children, "Listen, you might want to pack a few of your things together. You might want to pack a few of your things together before going to bed. The former Bishop of Turkey will be coming tonight, along with 6 to 8 black men. They might put some candy in your shoes. They might stuff you into a sack and take you to Spain. Or they might just pretend to kick you. We don't know for sure, but we want you to be prepared." This is the reward for living in the Netherlands. As a child, you get to hear this story, and as an adult, you get to turn around and repeat it. As an added bonus, the government has thrown in legalized drugs and prostitution. So what's not to love about being Dutch? Oscar finished his story just as we arrived at the station. He was a polite and interesting guy, very good company. But when he offered to wait until my train arrived, I begged off, saying I had some calls to make. Sitting alone in the vast, vibrant terminal, surrounded by thousands of polite, seemingly interesting Dutch people, I couldn't help but feel second rate. Yes, the Netherlands is a small country, but they have 6 to 8 black men and a really good Christmas story. Being a fairly competitive person, I felt jealous, then bitter. I was edging towards hostel when I remembered the blind hunter tramping off alone into the Michigan forest. He might bag a deer, or he might happily shoot a camper in the stomach. He may find his way back to the car, or he may wander around for a week or two before stumbling through your front door. We don't know for sure, but in pinning that license to his chest, he inspires a sort of narrative that ultimately makes me proud to be an American.
All right, that was David Sedaris.
Was it?
Yeah. Talking about all kinds of crazy stuff. You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Radio.
How'd you like that story, Joe?
What?
I like the part of the story where he's talking about how the Dutch children get told they might get put in a sack and taken to Spain.
We don't even have any good. Do we have any good stories like that here for our holidays and, you know? Just
the closest
John
thing.
John Wayne Gacy.
That's not a holiday story.
Well, that was, I think.
But he does put children in a sack and take them away.
Wow.
I did not mean to bring everything to a halt. I'm sorry.
Well, there was this story that I think I shared it. It was just this guy that I follow on Instagram. He shared a story of like. He likes to tell stories like good parenting versus bad parenting. And bad parenting would be like, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's Christmas Eve, so let's put milk and cookies out for Santa. Like, just normal parenting stuff. But the quote-unquote good parenting was like, Jason, do you not know the story of Santa Claus, the Red God? And he gets into a very violent story. And I mean,
and that's the it's like the bad parenting.
It's, no, that's the good, good one.
Where,
yeah.
Where you tell a Norse style story of how Santa Claus enslaved reindeer.
In the second version of the story, you're relating a story that may or may not be factually true, but there is at least a tradition that's held behind it, and people do respect that story. In the first case, you're lying to your child.
You're just lying.
You're just lying. Santa's real, and he loves you, and he will give you presents, only if you're a good boy. That's
There could be children listening to this radio show.
There is no Santa Claus. Your parents are lying. They're lying to you. This is just the start of a long line of lies through your entire life, children. Figure it out now.
What's the name of that film that we just watched?
You know, Rare Exports.
Rare Exports. Yes. That's a great Santa Claus story.
Yes, it is.
And
go
extremely
watch it.
Children appropriate.
No, it's not. Well, actually.
I don't know. There's no, violence is allowed. There's no sexual situations. There's no
violence, though.
Nope, there is definitely nudity.
Yeah, there is
a bunch of old man dong in that movie.
Yeah, there is. Yeah,
but you know what? I will say there is nudity. Oh, yeah. But there's no.
Well, now you're talking something here.
Because it's a bunch of naked old men that are supposed to be L-I-K.
Oh, yeah,
tell you what's going on.
Oh.
No, we're ruining it. Spoiler alert.
What's the name of the movie?
Rare Exports.
Where can you watch
Home Alone?
Tubi like everybody else?
I don't know. It's a Swedish movie.
You go to piratebay.org.
Oh, wow. That's what you did. That's where you went.
What? No. That's not where I went.
No.
The song? What song are you playing?
This one.
All the elves are making toys for the good Gentile girls and the good Gentile boys. When the boss busted in, nearly scared him half to death. Had a rifle in his hands and cheap whiskey on his breath. From his beard to his boots, he was covered with ammo. Like a big, fat, drunk, disgruntled Yuletide Rambo. And he smiled as he said, with a twinkle in his eye, Merry Christmas to all, now you're all gonna die. Well, the workshop is gone now, he decided to bomb it. Everywhere you'll find pieces of Cupid and Comet. And he tied up his helpers, and he held the elves hostage. And he ground up poor Rudolph into reindeer sausage. He got Dancer and Prancer with an old German Luger. And he slashed up Dasher just like Freddy Krueger. And he picked up a flamethrower and a barbecue blitzer. And he took a big bite and said, such a jolly guy. Yes, Virginia, now Santa Claus is dead. Some guy from the SWAT team blew a hole through his head. Yes, little friend, now that's his brains on the floor. I guess they won't have the fat guy to kick around anymore. But now there's no more presents for the children's enjoyment. And the elves got file for unemployment, and they say Mrs. Claus, she's on.
It's Dominic the Donkey, jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La, 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 la. Santa's got a little friend, his name is Dominic, the cutest little donkey, you'll never see him kick. When Santa visits his paisans with Dominic, he'll be, because the reindeer cannot climb the hills of Italy. Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the donkey, jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La, 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 la. Jingle bells around his feet and presents on the sled. Hey, look at the Mayor's Derby on top of Dominic's head. A pair of shoes for Louie and a dress for Josephine. The label on the inside says they're made in Brooklyn. Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the donkey. Jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La, 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 la. Clap their hands and Dominic starts to dance. They talk Italian to him and he even understands. Cumbaras and cumbaras do they dance a darandel. When Santa Nicola comes to town and brings a chucharilla. Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the donkey. Jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La, 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 la.
Oh wow, that was I really haven't heard that before. Hey Joe, how do you know a donkey's Italian?
How do you know that?
It wears an undershirt and beats its wife.
Hey, well, it's funny because it's racist.
Zing. Jesus.
Bada bing, bada boom, as they say.
Wow, that was wrong, guys.
They all say.
I can't believe you made me do that.
look what you made me do.
I did a
trawling the internets. Hopefully you've enjoyed this this edition of Singularity.
Minute, we got this last minute entry for the Christmas or pseudo holiday show.
Pseudo holiday.
Am I just playing this clip?
Yeah, do it.
Let's see if it actually works.
We trust Mac. This is Mac's song.
Well, we trust a crappy
Android,
actually.
Not even a song, actually. It's a story.
Is this working?
All right.
Is it working?
Wait a minute, it's not working.
Ugh, of course.
It's just looping.
It's an old phone.
No, it's a new phone.
But no sooner had he finished his prayer, a knock came at the door.
Why is it like halfway
up? Where'd it come from? Oh, well, Jason, he comes from the North Pole. And all the other elves help him with his work.
Yeah, but,
Santa come from? Oh, well, Jason, he comes from the North Pole. And all the other elves help him with his work.
Where does the Rekka Santa come from? Well, sit down, Jason. This is a story. Everyone knows the elves were the greatest makers in the world, able to make anything out of substance that does not exist. And their whole race was ruled over by a benevolent king called Ronas. But one fell day, the harshest winter the elves had ever known swept across their land, stretching on and on, years beyond what winter should. Crops would die and mothers would smother their babies to spare them the cold. King Ronas despaired, begging the gods their favor, pledging anything to see the winter end. But no sooner had he finished his prayer, a knock came at the doors of his halls, and a huge, laughing man in a red coat swept in. He claimed his name was Sinterklaas, the giver of gifts, and he was there to answer the king's prayer. And the only payment he desired was the elven spell of making. To spare his people, Ronas reluctantly agreed. Without hesitation, the laughing red god pulled a scepter of rubies and pearls from his belt and flung it into the sky. And for the first time in years, the elves saw the sun and basked in its warmth. King Ronas rejoiced and in his gratitude taught the red god the spell of making. No sooner had he heard it than the red god's nature had changed, for he was not jolly anymore. Cold and indifferent, he swept from the hall. Years later, Ronas would learn to his despair that the red god had sent the winter.
Was it? What was that? What did I just listen to?
The end.
That was an amazing story.
Merry Christmas.
It was quote unquote good parenting.
I don't understand.
You gotta, you gotta tell stories. What? Not lies. Stories.
I see it.
Yes, yeah.
I missed part of the story in the middle of all this.
Yes, that's right.
Entertaining stories.
Yes.
But I mean,
that are fun to pass on.
What you're doing, you want your kids to be kids for a while, so you just feed them something.
Your kids are already children. No, there's nothing you could do to make them more of a child.
You want them to retain their innocence, i.e. naivete.
Okay, and you do this by lying to them?
Or gullibility.
Gullibility. Yeah.
You don't have to tell them everything. You just slowly leak that information to them as they grow up. You can allow them a sense of their own innocence.
Gather around, little children. I'd like to now tell you a story about
a hero
named Charles Manson.
Yeah. A hero, really.
That is one story.
He's exactly the guy that's going to handle it like this. We're going to take our children. We're going to make sure that they're innocent and they have nice, sweet little lives right up until the age of, say, 9 or 10. And then we put a phone in their hand and we crush it all to pieces.
9 or 10? These days, I don't know. It's like 6 or 7?
Yeah.
That's pretty late.
Against that. And
what?
Guess what? That's... Why bother? Why bother with the innocence? It doesn't matter anymore.
Well, it starts with the iPad at 2 or 3,
so
right?
So, like, 7, it's hardcore porn, we're good to go?
Wow.
Is that it? Like,
you, Mr. Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, for real. People think we're in.
I know, you're right. You're right. Right. Yeah, it's out
so
there.
Easy to access.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the frustrating part is, like, just parents don't understand that when they give their child a smart device, they're giving them unlimited access to the internet.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
But, yeah. I mean,
take that iPad, that iPhone, back to the store.
We cannot not be the Thingularity radio program.
I know. It's really
difficult. You just got to be like, and another thing!
I know.
I'm sorry. When kids can be trafficked through Roblox, this is the world we live in.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I don't.
Wait. I've never heard this.
You never heard that kids can be trafficked?
Kids get lured through Roblox. Yeah.
How's that even?
These kids will, like, chat with these adults, with these grown people.
Okay,
being like, what grade are you in? Like, what school do you go to? Hey, like, you know, I'm outside. I brought, like, the cool stuff that I told you I was going to bring.
Okay, stop giving them ideas.
Giving who ideas? You already had these ideas.
Out, woman. I know. That's just a
if they had the thought, they had the idea already. Yeah. But, you know, I'm just telling parents who have no idea.
Oh my God, I'm wrong. Screw it. Lie to them. Lie to them about everything. The world is a horrible, terrible place. Lie to them. Let them assume and maybe think it's okay for at least a little bit.
Santa Damn. Is real.
Santa is real. NORAD tracks him.
But.
The wind of the line. Yeah. Yeah, like that.
Santa's real, but that fellow third grader that goes to a different school on Roblox isn't.
That's not real.
That's my PSA for the day.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Even if you
Thank
talked...
you for bringing the entire, like, county down
danger.
No. Yeah,
kidnapping children is a proud Christmas tradition. Just ask Krampus.
Just ask Dutch.
On that note...
They Krampus. Bring six-day black men to kidnap you. The Dutch do it. It's their tradition.
Yeah.
It's a cultural tradition. We got to be multicultural here, if you guys. Come on.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Does that stealing children? That's multicultural.
That's a proud human tradition.
I don't know about proud.
All of our culture.
I'm not proud.
Think about it. We do it so much. We might as well take pride in it.
Yeah, we might as well take pride in the fact that that Molech is one of the dominant gods of this continent.
Molech is just Molech thrives on parents willingly giving up their children to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's different, though.
Is it?
What if Molech puts on a mask and he just pretends to be Elon Musk? You know? Because, I mean, who else is going to try to take money from kids with cancer besides the Trumps?
Wow.
And
convicted. Convicted. And barred from even operating a charity in this state. That's how terrible these people are.
Our fearless leader.
So the kids out there, worry about them.
Worry about them. Yeah. Really.
And stop playing Roblox.
Yeah. Don't let them do that. What? Make them play with an old, stupid wooden toy.
Right. Give them some old computer games from the early aughts.
Find an old console game that doesn't connect to the internet.
Make them like us because we don't like the way the new generation
is. I used to walk to school 5 miles uphill both directions and play a console game.
In the middle of a blizzard. Always a blizzard, even in the summer.
I'm sorry, but...
I played with sticks and rocks all day long, and you know what? I liked it.
That's right.
We loved it.
Having LAN parties was much more fun than League of Legends. Sorry.
Yes.
It's true.
Word. 100%. You kids don't know what you're missing. Find the traditions of your elders and embrace
them. And we're not even that much older.
We're still your elders.
I am.
And we're, you're missing. And we're a lot better with computers.
Stupid children.
Stupid
we're better
children.
With computers than you.
We are.
What do you know?
What do you kids know?
They know Roblox.
And they know Skibbity Toilet.
They know,
they're
that
at a major
toilet.
Advantage. Yep.
They don't even know what machinima is. They don't know that they're watching a machinima.
I describe, in the briefest sense, Skibbity Toilet to my godson with, like, this great relief. Like, you don't know what this is? I'm not going to poison your mind with this filth. Good. Awesome. I'm happy. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Moving along.
Oh, are we going to play another song?
No.
No, we're good.
No, we're just going to
write it out.
We're just going to ramble on until we get just played out by the box.
Did everybody got their cookies and milk to put out for Santa Claus?
Yeah, I got to get the cookies and milk out. Santa Claus wants it.
Crazy turnaround.
Santa Claus.
Oh.
The very real Santa Claus is going to come down your chimney.
Speaking of cookies, you know who's never had Toll House, Nestle Toll House cookies before?
Who?
The person sitting next to me.
No, I did, and they were pretty good.
Oh, you've had...
Now you're saying you did. Wait a minute.
A couple days ago.
A couple days ago.
She's a spy. A Canadian spy.
You know,
even that is
honestly
believable, because I do overshare. I'm very friendly, and...
And the Minnesotan accent's very close to Canadian accents.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And I love hockey.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, they both love hockey.
Oh, yeah, hockey.
Yep.
Yeah.
And cheese.
And
cheese.
They say, 6 degrees Fahrenheit outside? Doesn't feel like that.
Oh, I can go out.
This is like nothing.
This is t-shirt weather. Who you kidding?
Oh, my stars.
That's Jersey.
Oh, for crying in your beer.
Oh, for crying in your beer.
What?
I never heard that expression before.
No.
What? Is that, it's a Minnesota thing?
Yeah. Oh, for crying in your beer.
Oh, for crying
in your
beer.
Same thing as, like, oh, for Pete's sake, which is another one. I mean, that's a more common one. But, yeah.
You know how we say that in L.A. back in the 80s and 70s?
Shut up, you're stupid!
Oh, my stars.
And then there might have been, you know, like some kind of homophobic words flying around that really didn't mean anything, but that's what we did.
I was going to say, welcome to New York on a traffic.
It was just the way people talked. Anyway.
You know what? Just within the continental United States, that alone, outside of, you know, people from different countries, like, America is multicultural.
Yes.
Because, you know what? Like, in Minnesota, like, we would bring a hat dish. Like, it's a casserole, but, you know, it's a hat dish.
A hat dish?
Hat dish. Yeah.
Hot, but hat.
Hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You cut it short.
Hat dish.
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds left. You've been listening to the Thingularity Pseudos Holiday Special. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you can take what we've done here and share it with your family and scare them as much as our inner demons.
Scare us. That is. Yeah.
Us here.
Oh, yeah.
And you now. Us.
No. My job is to scare them.
Yeah.
Not the other way around.
Scare them into returning the iPhones.
Yep.
For their kids for
That's
Christmas.
Right.
You still have time. You have
time.
Don't give them phones.
They'll get
don't lie to your children. Don't lie to your children. Don't lie to your children.
I guess we're in the after show now.
Oh.
We're on the after show.
After show.
With Dirty Lisa.
Oh, System of a Down.
Mm.
Yep.
So you know, they got the B team working for the holidays?
Fine.